Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you, brother, and thank you for tuning into the Word of God through Jesus Christ Street and Outreach Telecast. This is Apostle Alan E. Coleman, Jr. I'm telling you the truth. You could have no idea of the attacks that the ministry just went through before doing this broadcast. The computer had went one way, and then, you know, it took a long time for it to boot up when it shouldn't have. It's like when you're waiting for a bus. As long as you're not waiting for a bus, you see a whole bunch of them. But as soon as you need to wait for one, then all of a sudden it takes a sweet time. The enemy puts his hand in things to try to stop you from being used by God. But it is up to us to press forward. So that's what we're going to do. This show is going to be a little different. Let's go first into a word of prayer. Father, in Jesus' name, forgive us for our sins. Thank you for giving us this opportunity to fellowship and go before you and sit before you. Lord, in Jesus' name, you know why you allowed everything to go like it did. I don't know. You know. So I'm asking you in Jesus' name to make me usable and use me. Fill me with the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge. Give me a spiritual understanding of your most precious and holy word. And help me to be used by you. Don't just feed the sheep. Feed me also. I'm starving. Us leaders, we need you to feed us also. We're all starving. There's none of us that can say that we don't need the word of the Lord to be in our ears and in our spirit, because we do. So, Lord, in Jesus' name, I'm asking you by the power of your spirit to move in a way that only you can move. Thank you for everything. Oh, God, in Jesus' name, we thank you and we pray. Amen. Saints, I'd like to ask you to turn to Acts chapter 8, because that's where we're going to be this night, this evening, tonight. Acts chapter 8, and we're going to try to go into the 1 o'clock broadcast for the part 6, because tonight we're on part 5, but we want to do part 6 at 1 in the morning. So, again, Acts chapter 8, and while you're turning there, I am led to read the description the custom is to do. Philip started as a deacon, because before God calls an evangelist into the office of evangelist, which deals with people, they have to learn how to serve the people, how to help the people, how to encourage the people, how to heal the people. Evangelists also have the gifts of healing and miracles. Their main mission is to preach Christ. Evangelists will get people saved because their mission is just that. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5, the Apostle Paul encouraged the pastor Timothy to do the work of an evangelist, because the evangelist and the pastoral office are preaching gifts. Then, you know, the Lord told me that these days, pastors tell the sheep that sheep beget sheep, but that is wrong. In some cases, shepherds go out and get the sheep, and by calling, evangelists go out and get the sheep. No seasoned evangelist goes out in the field and comes back empty-handed. If the ministry where you are at is without sheep, then you need to let God use the evangelist to go out and get them, because they excel at that task. They shouldn't be sitting down, because evangelism is about bringing the good news to a dying world, not sitting waiting for a turn. Grab your Bibles and let's begin our journey of study concerning God's elite army of spiritual leaders and avengers, otherwise known as the fivefold ministry. I'm led to warn you, though, again, this information will differ from your denomination and from your opinions of God's order, but the information has always been listed in the Holy Bible, God's bestseller. This is part 5 in the teaching series of God's Avengers, the adventures of the fivefold ministry, and this is the office of the evangelist. Grab your Bibles and pens and papers, and let's delve into the Word of God and feast. Acts chapter 8, and we're going to read verses 5 through 13 first, and I'm in the King James Version. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And to him they had regard, because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now jump over to verse 26, please. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise, and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. And behold, the men of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning. And sitting in his chariot read Isaiah the prophet. That's Isaiah. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preach unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. The thought God gave me for this lesson is called, if God called you to the evangelistic office, he also said to go out to the lost. The title is, Evangelism is about bringing the good news to a dying world, not sitting waiting for a turn. Father, in Jesus' name, again, here we are at this time when you can throw your weight around, when you can show your people what your word says and what your word means. In Jesus' name, I'm asking that you make me usable and use me. Fill me with the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge, and give me a spiritual understanding of your word. And I'm asking that you feed your leaders and your sheep right now, and me, of course, and most of all, feed the evangelists. Help them to understand what their mission is. In Jesus' name, I thank you and I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. It is important to understand the mission of the evangelist. The word evangelist is one who brings the evangel, which is the good news. It's also a messenger of good tidings. The good news is that Jesus rose from the dead. The tomb is empty. He's not there anymore. The good news is how he got there, why he got there. This is why an evangelist, when preaching Christ, will start from Genesis and end up at the cross to explain the whole plan of salvation so that the hearer is compelled and, first convinced that they need to give their life to someone greater than themselves and compelled to give their life to Christ. The evangelist brings the message of the redeeming grace of God, and they minister salvation in the simplest form that even a child can understand. The only New Testament example we have of an evangelist is Philip by name. But by mission and by spiritual description, there were many evangelists in the Bible. Philip had one message, and it was Jesus Christ. In both of these scriptures we read, his message was Christ. That's it. Simple as that. It says in Acts chapter 8, it said way down in verse 12, but when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Now, the deep thing about this is in verse 13, it says Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered. Simon was a sorcerer, and this sorcerer was doing all kinds of things to make people think he was so great. It says right here in the scripture of verse 10, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. There's a lot of ministers that try to trick the people with signs and with miracles and with things like that to have you to say this person really is sent by God. And yet they don't even have to open a Bible. All they can do is break a cane and throw it or push a person down or knock a person down by force or throw a person all around. There's many tactics and techniques that the enemy has pioneered and inspired people to use, because in this generation, people are hooked on signs. It's not just this generation. Even in scripture, they ask Jesus for a sign. Give us a sign. Prove to us that you are who you say you are. Get down on the cross. You saved others. Save yourself and we'll believe. And that wouldn't have been so. Of course, Jesus wouldn't get off the cross. Not at all would Jesus get off the cross, because God had already organized this. He had already assigned this to happen before the foundation of the earth were laid. It was mentioned that Christ is the lamb that was slain before the foundations of the earth were laid. Meaning it was already discussed in heaven. It was already decided upon by God that he would come into the earth realm and offer himself to himself. And the evangelist ministers this message. No matter what scripture they start with, they preach Jesus, because that's what they are anointed to do. The evangelists, they have in their utility belt the gifts of miracles and the gifts of healing. Even though other offices might do that as well, like the prophetic office, evangelists also do that. This is what they do. Acts chapter 5, verse 6 says, actually verse 5 says, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. See, that was the message. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. What were the miracles? What were they? Verse 7 says, for unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. The evangelist is used by God as a person who will cast out devils and demons. They will do that because the evangelists, they use certain tactics and techniques in order to get their point across, to prove the power of God. the evangelist will be used by God to get a person saved from hell, to get a person delivered from Satan's grip. The mark of a true evangelist are evident in the ministry of Philip by supernatural advertisement. See, there was something, it was a joy to see and to hear in Philip's ministry. There was something to hear. Scripture says, and the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. He was equipped with the particular spiritual gifts needed for his ministry. The miracles and gift of healings were needed. The display of these spiritual gifts through him by God is the way that God used as advertising. He preached Christ. The evangelist must preach Christ. The evangelist is one of the three preaching gifts. One preaching gift is the prophet, the other one is the pastor, and the other one is the evangelist. These are preaching gifts. To preach means to proclaim, to declare something, or to tell something. This is what they do. In the ministry of the evangelist, the preaching of God's word is very important, and this is what they must do. This is what they must do. Believing in the word of God is what gets people saved, not miracles, not healings. That gets people's attention. But believing in Jesus Christ and the word of God is what gets people saved. Acts chapter 8, verse 12 says, but when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. See, they believed what Philip was preaching. Miracles and healings were mentioned earlier in verse 6 and 7. The people saw these things. But the Bible doesn't say that people were saved. It says that when they believed what they saw, that's not what saved them. It says they were saved when they believed what Philip was preaching. No one was saved until Philip preached the word. People were saved as a result of his preaching. You can go to a ministry 20 years and still not be saved. You can sing in a choir and still not be saved. You can be the usher and still not be saved. You could be in the pulpit leading the congregation and still not be saved. You are not saved until you hear the preaching of the gospel and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Evangelists don't sit down. Today in a lot of ministries, that's what evangelists do. They sit down. They sit down, they wait for their turn to preach. They call themselves evangelists. The pastor calls them evangelists. The pastor trains them as an evangelist. Evangelists do not sit down. In this ministry, the Lord has already instructed me. He said, son, when I do tell you to set up a physical building, and you do, and I bring you out the street for a minute, the evangelists are not to be sitting down on no Sunday. They should be out in the field, handing out tracts, winning souls, ministering to people, ushering folk into the kingdom of God. Evangelists don't necessarily bring you into a building, but they usher you into the kingdom of God. This Ethiopian eunuch had went to Jerusalem to worship. And as he was returning, this is Acts chapter 8, verse 28. As he was returning, he was sitting in his chariot and he was reading the book of Isaiah. And the Holy Ghost told Philip, go near and join yourself to this chariot. See, when the Holy Ghost has called you into the office of evangelist, he says, go out in the field, go out among the lost. Go minister to the lost. Go serve the lost. Go help the lost. Go. Don't sit down. Get up and go. The evangelist ministry is a roaming ministry. It is like a nomadic ministry. It's they travel, they wander. An evangelist will get up in the morning and be used by God to go out in the field with the express mission of going out there to win souls, and will be out there all day long. Come back home with names and numbers and people that they are to call or stay in touch with or pray with or pray for. It is a very sad thing when God is using an apostle or a prophet or even a pastor to train the evangelist, and the evangelist don't want to go nowhere. They want to sit down. They're not comfortable moving, but they're more comfortable sitting down. The office of evangelist, that word evangelist, is not a title. It's a calling. It's a vocation. It's a calling that God places on you. He said the harvest is plentiful, the workers are few. Praise the God of the harvest that he sent laborers to go out and work in the vineyard. Philip ran to him. He didn't just walk. The Holy Ghost said, go join this out to this chariot. Philip ran to the chariot. And when he heard what the Ethiopian eunuch was reading in the book of Isaiah, he asked him, do you understand what you're reading? See, an evangelist is always looking for an opportunity to be used by God to minister. Always. Always looking for an opportunity by God to minister to win souls. That's what the evangelist is always looking to do. If you talk to a real seasoned, true evangelist, let's say you're talking to them about Snickers, an evangelist will take that subject and somehow or another, before y'all part, the evangelist will end up on Christ. And you will end up believing or being stirred up if you're already a believer. A revivalist is also an evangelist. An evangelist conducts revivals. Because a revival is not for those that are not saved. The revival are for those that were once saved but fell and need to be recharged. But those that are not saved, they come to a revival, if they make it to one, and they give their life to Christ. The evangelist does a twofold thing. The evangelist ministers to those that are spiritually dead, and they become born again, or they give their life to the Lord, or the evangelist is used by God to wake them up spiritually, or the evangelist is used by God to revive that soul, that person that has left God or left the faith. In this case, Philip was used by God to minister to the Ethiopian eunuch. He understood that the Ethiopian eunuch had a spiritual need. Now, this is a very deep thing, because if you turn back to Acts chapter 6, what you'll notice is this right here. Verse 1 says, and in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Now, the Grecians, these were Greeks. These were believing Greeks. There was a murmuring between them and the Hebrews because the Greeks were being neglected their daily ministration, the things that they needed to make it through the day. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them. Now, these disciples were all those that were believers. So the 12 called all of the believers together and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. These were the apostles talking. Wherefore, brethren, look ye among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. So this right here is telling us that the deacons, it was two things required of the deacon: to be full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. They had to be Holy Ghost filled, because the wisdom that they were going to be full of was God's wisdom, not their own. These days, pastors teach the deacons to beg. The deacons in the book of Acts were meant to give out. They weren't there to beg. They weren't there to say, we need $5 more or we need $10 more. They wasn't there for that. That is not what a deacon does. That's a beggar. That's not a deacon. A deacon is one that helps the ministry and serves the people, make sure that the people have what they need. So scripture says here that in verse 3, they said, again, wherefore, brethren, look ye among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Now, that tells you what the apostles are supposed to be doing, praying and being in the word. Y'all ain't got no time for vacations. True apostles, I mean, praying and being in the word. Verse 5 says, and the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. So these were the deacons, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And the word of God increased. Look at this now. This is what happened in the ministry. The word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, not in a building, not in a synagogue, but in Jerusalem, the city. And a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Now, this is very powerful. Verse 8 says, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. So these were the deacons, and they were helping and assisting the people. They were concerned about the people's natural need. God taught them this, and then after they understood the point, after they went through Holy Ghost boot camp training, then they began to understand that the people had spiritual needs. So God was able to use Philip as an evangelist because Philip was a successful and attentive deacon. All evangelists were deacons first if you're a male. If you're a female, all evangelists were in the office of health. Female evangelists were in the office of health. Why? Because the word deaconess does not exist. It is no such thing. So those, now you got to understand something. Those in the building are adding positions and creating jobs, so to speak, and all of this, and it's a lot of it is contrary to scripture, and this is why there's no power in the building. This is why you can go in the building broken and leave broken. This is why you can go in the building crooked and come out crooked. This is why you can go in the building gay and come out gay. This is why you can go in the building a crook and come out a crook. This is why you can go in these buildings that they call the church, which the church is not a building, but that's another form of ignorance, but we can deal with that another time. But this is why people go in the building and there's no deliverance there, because the Holy Ghost is not there. He's in some ministries, yes, but a lot of those ministries, the Holy Ghost is not there. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, and that means freedom. Spiritual freedom. There's no bondage where the Holy Ghost is. Whenever the devil saw the Holy Ghost, he trembled. When he saw Jesus, he said, since you are the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. He tried to trick the Lord, but it didn't work because the enemy had a problem with God. And he has a problem with those that God has called. So the evangelist is used by God to win souls. The evangelist is used by God to compel people, give your life to Jesus Christ. There's a lot of people out there that God has called. There's a lot of people out there in their spirits. They know that they need to give their life to the Lord. They know that they're going through rough things in life, but they don't know what to do. They don't know how to find God. They go to the ministries and can't find him there. A lot of times, those in the building look like those in the world. And we shouldn't be that way. Those of us that are saved should not look like those that are not. We shouldn't. There should be a transforming that the Holy Spirit does in us to change us from what we used to be and who we used to be. The only way we can get in the face of God is if we connect with him, and the only way to connect with him is through Jesus Christ. If you're not saved and you're listening to this message, it is important to realize this point. Muhammad cannot save you. Joseph Smith cannot save you. Charles Taze Russell cannot save you. Mary Baker Eddy cannot save you. Ellen G. White cannot save you. Even though Seventh-day Adventist is going by the law, this is what Ellen G. White put together. If you're a Seventh-day Adventist, you need to get in the face of God and stop trying to keep the law, because the law does not save you. The law cannot save you. If you live by the law, you will die by the law. Give your life to Jesus Christ that he may save you. It is important when Jesus Christ is your Savior, because then the devil is very limited on what he can do to you. Some of you, the enemy is tearing up your marriage. Some of you, he's messing with your children. Some of you, he's oppressing you on your job. Some of you, he is messing with your finances. Some of you, he is oppressing you in the ministry. Some of you go to a ministry because you want to do right by God, but that ministry is not producing no fruit of deliverance. You are still bound. You're going in smoking cigarettes and coming out smoking cigarettes. Now, you don't understand this. You're going to the club on a weekend and able to go and sing in a choir on Sunday because there is no conviction. The Holy Ghost, he will convince you of sin and allow you to see and realize that you need Jesus. So it is important. It is important to give our life to the Lord. Oh, God, there's some listening to this broadcast that started walking with God and fell. And you, because of guilt, you're saying, I can't come back to God. I've done so much wrong. Listen, the Lord says he knew you was going to fall when he called you. He knew the mistake you was going to make. He is a forgiving God if you want forgiveness. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if you want to give your life back to the Lord, join with me under this umbrella of prayer. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we come before you asking you to forgive us for every last one of our sins and shortcomings and faults and our wrongs. Lord, bless those that are calling on you right now that are saying, Father, forgive me for I have sinned. Lord, bless them. Bless them to come back to you. You've opened the way. You told them if they come to you in the name of Jesus that you would forgive them. If they confess their sins, oh, you're faithful and just to forgive them their sins and to cleanse them from all unrighteousness. And this we ask you to do in Jesus' name. So, Lord, the ground has been turned. When they pray to you tonight, even after this broadcast, and they say, Lord, I'm asking you this in Jesus' name. Father, we ask that you do it. In Jesus' name, we thank you. We pray. Amen. Those of you that are listening that are not saved, that never have been saved, but you've been hearing about Jesus, you know that your life is in a rut, things are rough for you, you don't know which way to turn, you tried everything else, you was a Muslim, that didn't work. You was a Jehovah's Witness, that didn't work. You were a Mormon, that didn't work. All this stuff you tried to do, it didn't work. You wandered into the fold of masonry, and once you found out that that they're not Christians and that they don't even mention the name of Jesus Christ, you came out of that. Some of you have been Eastern Stars, and you realize it was a cult. Come on, y'all. Some of you figured your college fraternity was going to make you secure and give you a sense of wellness about yourself, but you found out that didn't work either. So you're still empty. Some of you have went from ministry to ministry to ministry, and still you've been hurt. Some of you are hurt and beat up right now from ministries that you tried to go to, and before you could even get to Jesus, they beat you up even more. They didn't show you no love. They oppressed you. They was all in your business. They might have joined you with someone in that ministry in marriage, and it didn't work, and they backed away and left you to have to clean up your own mess. Let's go to God right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, there are people right now, God, that are calling on you. There's people that want to find you. There's people looking for you. Oh, great God Almighty, Lord, I'm asking you to bring them unto yourself. Give them rest. Give them in peace in the mighty name of Jesus. Dispense an angel from on high to go and sit with them and to minister to their hearts. Oh, God, I'm asking in the name of Jesus that you teach them your word. Provide a Bible for them, one that they can understand, so that they can read it and learn about Jesus, so that way they can find you. No man comes to the Father but through the Son. Make the way, God. Make the way in the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord, first I ask you to forgive them for all of their sins and shortcomings, any and everything that they have said, done, thought, and felt that's wrong. I ask you that. The ground has been turned. Now, Father, do the plant and send someone to plant, and you give the increase. In the name of Jesus, we thank you and we pray. Amen. Thank you, Lord. To you evangelists out there, get up. Evangelism is about bringing the good news to a dying world, not sitting waiting for your turn to preach. If the pastor is not giving you an opportunity to preach, don't worry about it. If you're ordained as an evangelist and you know God has given you a work to do and he's placed a ministry name in your spirit and you need help getting that work started, give me a call, 203-745-8162. Let the Lord use this ministry to help you to establish the work he's got for you to do. Listen, we are brethren one of another. Call the ministry, 203-745-8162, and God will use me to show you how to incorporate the ministry, how you can get it up and running, and you need any walking with, God will use this ministry to walk with you so that way you can find the Lord, so that way you can do the work that he's called you to do. And the thing about Philip and his Ethiopian eunuch, you know this happened in the desert, right? There was no water there, but when the Ethiopian eunuch believed, suddenly there was water. He found some water, and he said, "What is it that stops me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stand still, Acts chapter 8, verse 38. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them. And when they would come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Listen, brother and sister evangelists, when God uses you to bring a soul into his kingdom, you don't always have to be all in their face. You don't always have to think God's going to use you to plant and to water. No, God uses one to plant, one to water, but God gives the increase. If God used you to bring that soul into the family of God, you're not bringing it into a building. You're bringing that soul into the family of God by ministering the gospel, by preaching Christ until they believe that Jesus is the Son of God and God manifests in the flesh. Then you can go on your way. God will lead you somewhere else because your mission as an evangelist is to keep on going. Don't stop. Keep on going. Keep on going. Keep on going. Keep on going. He gives prophets and prophetesses nations, but he gives evangelists people. Keep going. Keep going. Don't stop. And the Lord will provide a way for the person to like the way he did with the eunuch. He provided the water. That was a miracle. That was a miracle because in the desert, there's no water. Mirages, yes. Water, no. But the Lord provided water. He will bless the work he used you to do. He will equip you. He will even send people to walk with you and help you. Again, if you're an evangelist, by anointing, God has anointed you, and you know that you need license for evangelism so that you can take the ministry to the next level. There's a theology class the ministry do. Call me, 203-745-8162. It's not expensive. The tuition is really an honorarium, and it's very, very, very inexpensive. And it results in you receiving your license so that you can be used by God to put up your own umbrella, because a lot of people's umbrella is not clean underneath. You're under there waiting for a turn to minister because they see the fire on you, because they see you want to go. They don't let you be used. They'll sit you down, and that's not good. The harvest is plentiful. The workers are few. So it's not good for, and you pastors, y'all need to hear that. Stop trying to smother the gift of these evangelists. Let God use them. You don't have no right sitting in the building and got 18 ministers under you. That don't make you look deep. It makes you look very selfish, because the evangelists should be out in the field. They should be out. They should be out. Call the ministry, 203-745-8162, 24 hours. If you're called by God in the office of evangelist and you need help getting the ministry up and running, 203-745-8162. If you have been praying about an inexpensive theology class, which results in you receiving your license that says you can set up ministry and so forth, 203-745-8162, 24 hours. Under ministries link, if you look at the description of this lesson on my wall, Apostle Allen E. Coleman Jr., you will see the link that says for your prayer request, submit it to the ministry's website, and we'll be praying for you daily, 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 touching and agreeing with you, praying for you and everything. Your name will go in the prayer box, and the prayer will be offered up for you daily. And there's also a link that says to share a love offering. Go to the ministry's website, and there's a tab that says your donations and support of the ministry. Allow God to use you as he used us to be out there in the field helping homeless and people sleeping on benches and runaways and women that are drunk out there with no place to go and that are being taken advantage of. We like to go to Dollar Tree and get them a care package, a sanitary napkin, a washcloth, and toothpaste and toothbrush and all that kind of stuff, even for the men, razors, deodorant, shaving cream, everything, so that they can spruce themselves up. Open your hand and don't close it. Let God use you to be a blessing, because these people have natural needs as well as spiritual needs. Come on, y'all. Team up with the ministry. Let's get this work done together. We love you and God bless you. 203-745-8162. And you can call right after you hear this broadcast. God bless you. And see you at 1:30 in the morning now. For the office of the pastor. That'd be part 6 of this teaching series. God bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.